Matthew chapter number 20. It's amazing sometimes when you spend some time talking to folks. You think the Lord's dealing with you about something or some portion of Scripture, and you get somebody on the phone or in conversation, and you find out they've been thinking about the same thing and even in the same direction. Brother Shane and I were talking a little bit today, and Brother Shane said, Brother Mac Burnett down here at Word of Life been after Shane to come to his church, and I'll have to have a word with that boy. I promise you I ain't been after none of his people to come to my church. Amen. Yeah. Say amen right there. And I'm just teasing, their friends have been for years, and I wouldn't mind if he went and visited as long as that's all he did. Y'all say amen right there. Amen. Too much prayer invested to watch that one limp off down the road. Amen. Amen. Some church members go and you go, oh, well. Yeah. Some go and you go, oh, no. Amen. I probably shouldn't tell that, but you know it's true. Amen. But seriously, tonight, Brother Shane and I were talking today, and he said, I might go down there and hear Brother David tonight. And I said, well, that'd be all right, brother. He said, well, what are you preaching? I said, well, I was thinking about this. And Shane said, oh, no. He said, I've been thinking about the same thing. I'm coming to hear what you got to say. Amen. And then he started sharing some thoughts, and I won't give you his. I'll let him have them. I know he's scared to death. I'm fixing to steal everything God gave him, but I'm not going to do it. I want to look at it in a little different way. We were both talking about the touch of God on our lives today. Amen. We were both talking about the need of a touch of God, and we were talking about what happens when God touches your life. Amen. When God touches your life, it will make a difference. And Brother Shane's going to go at this thing, as soon as I let him, from a little bit different angle, just from his testimony in his life, and I'll promise you that'll be a blessing. But I want you to look at Matthew chapter number 20 and verse number 29 tonight. The Bible said, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But the Bible said they cried, say it with me, the more. In other words, they got louder. When they told them to hush, they magnified their voices. Yeah. You know, there's a whole... I better go and read. I'll get stuck right there. I lost my spot. Somebody help me. It'd help if I'd put these glasses on, wouldn't it? Amen? Amen. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus, these two words just beckoned me tonight. The Bible said, and Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I should do unto you? Hang on right there just for a second. There is something about those two words or three words where the Bible said Jesus stood still. He heard something. Listen, there is a multitude around him. Have you ever been where there was a multitude of people? Say a stadium or Turner Field, someplace. I would call that a multitude, wouldn't you? 20,000 plus people, that's a crowd right there. If you ever get in a crowd of people, there is a dull roar. And you've got to talk pretty loud to talk to the person sitting next to you just because of the dull roar that's going on. But out of all that multitude of people, Jesus heard something that made him stop in the way. There's several times throughout the Bible, and I'm going to study this out. It ain't got nothing to do with this sermon, but I'm going to study this out where Jesus stopped. There was another time when the multitude pressed on him, and a little woman reached out and grabbed the hem of his garment, and it stopped him dead in his tracks and said, ho, somebody touched me. Yeah, I felt the virtue go out of him. Yeah, amen. I wonder what it would take for you and I to cause the Lord to pass by where we are tonight and stop and stand still and take notice of what you and I need tonight. Amen? There was another place in the Bible where Jesus came walking on the water and his disciples were in a boat, and the Bible said he would have passed them by. He would have went right on by, but they cried out and caused Jesus to stop right where they were. Amen? So the Lord stood still and asked them, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" I like that. I don't believe there's a mistake in this book, do you? He didn't ask them, "What can I do for you?" He said, "What can I do to you?" Yeah. Amen. I don't really need the Lord to do anything for me specifically tonight, but I need the Lord to do something to me. Yeah. Amen. And if the Lord will do something to me tonight, that will inevitably do something for me. And if the Lord will do something to you tonight, oh, we want God to open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we cannot contain. We want to grab Jeremiah 33:3, and boy, we want to see things that we know is not, those great and mighty things. But we don't want God to do anything to us. Bless me, take care of all my problems, but don't change nothing. Don't do nothing to me. He said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" Let me ask you a question tonight. What would you have the Lord do unto you? Amen. You know what our problem is? We're satisfied with self. Yeah. Are you listening? What if America worked on having God touch and change their lives as much as they do losing weight or growing hair? Amen. Amen. Y'all all right? Or getting rid of wrinkles. Yeah. All this kind of stuff. Amen. Come on. Amen. I need the Lord to do something, not so much for me tonight, but I need the Lord to do something to me tonight. Yes, sir. In salvation, it wasn't what he did for me. He did that for me 2,000 years ago at Calvary, but in New Year's Eve 25 years ago, 26 years ago now, it wasn't that he done it for me 2,000 years ago, but on that New Year's Eve, he done it to me. Amen. Amen. He said, "What will you that I should do unto you?" I wonder what you might come crawl up in this altar and ask God to do to you tonight. Huh? How about, "God, would you take these cigarettes away from me? Give me the power to lay them down. God, would you help this vulgar tongue of mine? God, would you help this lust in my mind, these evil and wicked thoughts? God, would you do that to me?" Amen. You ain't got no power over sin. You're matchless against it. Come on, somebody help me tonight. Just because you saved don't make you a master over sin. But we do have a master tonight. Yes. Amen. And his name is Jesus. I wonder what we might be willing to crawl up in the altar tonight and say, "God, I need you to do this to me." Yes. I had one man swore to me this was true. Swore to me. He said he smoked, I don't know how many packs of cigarettes, maybe a pack and a half, 2 packs a day for years. And he got on the altar on a New Year's Eve and begged God sincerely to take them away from him. You know what God did? He did something to him. He said next day, urge was there, Brother Freddie, just like it always been. He said he lit a cigarette, put it in his mouth, took 2 draws off of it, and vomited for an hour. You know what he said? "Lord, what did you do to me?" Amen. Amen. Said to this day, he can smell a cigarette and it makes him nauseous. Amen. I'm telling you, God heard a sincere prayer. Are you listening? Not a silly resolution, but a sincere prayer. And God said, "Okay, big boy, you really want them gone? See what they do to you tomorrow." Amen. God, do it to me. God, I need you to do it to me. Make that sin that I pet and embellish and love and hang on to, make it make me sick.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That ain't got nothing to do with the message, and I don't know where it's coming from, but we need it. Amen.
Yeah.
What wilt thou, or what would you have me to do unto you? What would you have the Lord do unto you? Here's our problem. Nothing. Nothing. Leave me alone. I'm fine. Do it to him.
Yes.
That's our attitudes in the Baptist church, is it not?
Yes.
If so-and-so had been here tonight, man, I'm going to get them a copy of that CD. Get you a copy. Amen. Get you. I'm tired of hearing that. You know how many times we preach and we have somebody in mind and they ain't there? Help me, Brother Freddie. How many times have we made the statement, God knows who's here? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Sermon like this tonight, I don't care who's here. Yeah. We all need it. Amen. What would you have me to do unto you? They didn't hem-haw around, did they? Verse 33, they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Yeah. That's what happened at salvation, wasn't it? Yeah. We as blind, but now we see. Amen. I'm afraid we've gotten the blinders on again. Amen. Like the children of Israel, God, man, I'll never get it. The Lord led them out of bondage. They were headed toward the promised land. They had seen the grapes of Eshcol. They had seen the fruit of the land. They had heard how it flowed with milk and honey. But their eyes is back yonder on the garlics and the leeks, the onions. Amen. Their eyes is back on the world that God brought them out of. Hey, we need to be blinded to the past and our eyes open to the future. Amen. God, open our eyes. Open our eyes to not everybody else's fault, but God, help me to see my own problem. Amen. I stood in the mirror tonight. I cannot. Some people can do it. I cannot tie, Brother Freddie, looking in the mirror. Without looking in the mirror. It's opposite when you're looking in the mirror. I have to have a mirror. I stand there looking in the mirror, and I just looked at myself, and I said, Lord, how in the world could you use somebody like me? God, I ought to just throw his tie in the closet, jump in the bed, and cover up my head. Lord, how in the world could you touch and use somebody like me? I said, but God, I'm fixing to walk out that door, and what I need is for you to do something to me tonight. Yeah, bro. Amen. Open our eyes. Help us to see our own fault. Amen. Amen. How many, you feel real worthy tonight? You feel worthy to come in the house of God and worship God? I don't. Amen. We need to see ourselves as we really are. We need to see our sin. Wonder if we could see our sin like God does. Give that some thought. We take it with a grain of salt. God takes it to heart. We look at it like, oh, that ain't so bad. I don't see nothing wrong with that. Ask God to show it to you like he sees it. Amen. And then that sin might be exceeding sinful. We okay? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Woo, isn't that amazing? As soon as they saw, what'd they do? They followed the one that opened their eyes, amen? I'll give you several thoughts about these boys tonight. I don't know if I ever get to the message or not, but I want you to notice, first of all, they needed a touch from God. Amen? Do you realize that? They had a problem, didn't they? Are you listening to me tonight? I said they needed a touch from God. I wonder how many of us walk out in society every day or the world or the workplace and we think, man, these people need the Lord. Come on. Do you ever do it? Do you ever go to the mall or the shopping place and you see the worldly and the wicked? You see the teenagers with all the piercings and the women running around with all these tattoos all over them? And I mean, just the world is in a mess. And you look at them and you think, boy, they need. How often do you ever stop and say, Lord, it's not only them that need you, but God, I need you. Yes, sir. Amen. They needed a touch and everybody there knew they did.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Oh, we sit around this church, and I'm going to pick on Shane tonight. We look at Brother Shane and say, oh, I don't see how he does it. I don't see how he's going through all he's going through, but it must just be the Lord. Hey, I need him as much as he does.
Yeah. Come on, preacher. Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm not being arrogant. I don't mean that in a cocky way. I don't mean that to say that I've got as many problems as he does. I'm not comparing my problems to his. You know why? Because his problems are his problems and my problems are mine. He needs God to touch him for his problems, but I need God to touch me for mine. These people had a problem. And by the way, you have a problem.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You say, what is it? I ain't got a clue. Well, some of you I do. Amen. Some of you I do. I pray sometimes some folks in this church, God would strike them with muteness. Is that a word?
Yes.
Strangle your vocal cords.
Yes.
These people had a problem. Everybody around them knew it. You know why? It was evident.
Amen, brother.
It was evident. I walked in here on two good legs tonight, and so did everybody else. We got a one-year-old, just had a birthday, Nolan. He can walk better than that man right there. You all right tonight?
Yeah.
When Shane comes in that motorized chair, it's evident he has a problem.
Yeah.
Everybody else got theirs covered up pretty good.
Amen. That's good right there, preacher. Yes, sir.
We all right tonight?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Everybody else has got theirs covered up, so we focus on what we can see. By the way, the problem he has is mere physical.
Yeah.
It's better to have a physical problem than a spiritual one.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's better to wrestle around and try to get around and walk on one leg than it is to be harboring sin in our heart.
Yes.
Amen.
That's true. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Some of us tonight, I was going to say some of you, just let me throw you right in there. You may have more trouble than he does. Ain't none of your kids in here tonight, are they? He's got physical problems. He's got marital problems. He's got financial problems. And we could just go on with these problems. But they're all things you can see.
Yes.
What about the things? I can't sit here and judge you tonight and tell you what your spiritual problem is, but you know. Whether you won't admit it or not. These people had a problem. These two boys crying out by the side of the road, they had a problem, and the whole town knew they had a problem. They were probably known as the two old blind guys that sat by the wayside begging. They knew they were blind. They knew they had a physical difficulty. They knew they had a handicap. Hey, but that wasn't enough that everybody knew they had a problem. Here's the next thing. They knew they had a problem.
Amen.
It's not enough for me to know something's wrong with you. It's got to get to the place where you know you need help.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what will cause you to go to a doctor? A symptom.
Amen.
A headache is not the problem. It's the symptom of the problem. You understand that?
Amen.
A sore throat is not, what's the matter with you? I've got a sore throat. No, that's not the problem. That's the symptom of the problem.
Yeah.
That's the bell ringing inside you that tells you something is wrong.
Amen.
The problem is not the sore throat. It's the sore throat crying out. There's an infection inside you somewhere.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And it causes us to go to the doctor.
Amen.
And we'll pay attention to all these physical symptoms. But these spiritual symptoms, we ignore them all day long. We'll sit and listen to a sermon like this and nod our heads and go right out the door. Just like we came. Aren't you glad the night you came to Christ for salvation, you didn't leave like you came? That wouldn't have satisfied you then, so why does it satisfy us now? I'll be honest with you, I was desperate when I got saved. If Jay Bice had patted me on the back and said, get on in the car, son, you're all right, without peace in my heart, I'd have said, no siree, buddy, I ain't leaving here.
Yeah. Yes,
why? I knew I had a problem.
Amen.
Everybody around me knew I had a problem. For years, they said, boy, something's got to happen to that boy, or he's going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
My own daddy said I was going to be in jail
or
dead. It's just by the grace of God I wasn't. But that night I realized I needed help.
Amen, brother.
That night I realized I needed help. I wonder how many people had applied some kind of salve to these boys' eyes. In those days, there was every kind of witch doctor you can imagine. Home remedies, you name it. Amen. Let's put some lizard spit in their eye. That'll fix it. Let's bury a rooster's foot under. You know, come on. All them mountain remedies. I wonder how many things had been tried.
Come on, Bridget.
But there's no doubt these boys, there wasn't nothing wrong with their hearing.
Amen,
there's no doubt they had heard. There was something about this man, Jesus.
Yes, sir,
you know what I bet they had heard, Brother Freddie? He opened blinded eyes. Yeah. I bet they heard that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying tonight, I bet they heard that.
Yes, sir.
I bet they heard, hey, we got a problem. Everybody knows we got a problem. We know we got a problem.
Yeah.
And we heard he can fix it.
Yeah.
Amen. Jason Crow ain't here tonight. I hope he's working or backslid, one of the two. He ain't here tonight. And I know y'all can't imagine this, but Jason was hooked on methamphetamines. He seems like he's on something now. He's just, you get him wound up, brother. I said, whoa, 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 don't hit me. I mean, he just gets excited. I wonder how many meth addicts has heard what God did for Jason. Are you listening? These old boys heard that this guy could do something about it.
Amen.
Amen. They had a problem, Brother Freddie. Everybody pointed at them. Everybody whispered.
Yeah.
Everybody knew they had a problem. But it wasn't enough for everybody to know they had a problem.
Amen.
It ain't enough for you to publicize everybody's problem on Facebook.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. It ain't enough for you to spread somebody's trouble over the telephone. It's not till you realize yourself or they realize their self, they have a problem.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
The old saying in rehab and all these places people check into with all these addictions, you know what they say? The judge will make them go. And they say as long as they're made to go, they'll never get no help.
That's right.
They've got to get to the point where they realize.
That's right.
You can't help someone who does not want your help. Are you listening? You've got to get to the point to where you hit your knees and say, God, I need you. When are we going to get to the place, folks? We're a soul-winning church. We're an outreach church, and we believe in that 100%. But when are we going to get to the place it's not just them that need the Lord? We need Him.
Yes,
amen.
We need Him. They needed help. They had a problem. They knew they needed help.
Yes.
They knew their problem was beyond themselves. They knew their problem was beyond society and what society could offer.
Yes.
Amen. Thirdly, they didn't give a flip what nobody thought.
Yes.
They ain't real deep tonight. They didn't care.
Yeah.
Did you hear what the multitude did? You got two against the multitude. Now, let me rephrase that. You got three against a multitude. You got two blind men and Jesus. And a multitude. I wish I knew what number would fit a multitude. I'm not sure. It was 5,000 when he fed them with bread and fish, amen? Plus the women and children. So it's a crowd of folks. Amen? So you got three against all them. The Bible said they cried out. And the crowd said, shh. They rebuked them. You know what they did? They told them to hush. They told them to hush. Y'all are making too much noise. What verse was that? That was back up in verse number, was it 29? 30? And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard Jesus pass by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord. They're asking the right question. Are they not? They're not saying anything out of school. They didn't go heal him a Hashande, tie him a little bow tie and ride a Kawasaki and sell you Toyota. They didn't say that. They wasn't speaking in tongues. They wasn't doing something out of scriptural context. They said, have mercy on us. That's all they ask. They're asking the right one. But yet there's a crowd that don't approve. Look at verse number 31. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. Who said that? Who told them they should hold their peace? That's that same crowd told you ought to keep silent in the church.
Yes.
Y'all all right?
Yeah.
That's that same crowd that says it's irreverent to shout.
Yeah.
We okay tonight?
Yeah.
That's that same crowd hollering at these boys. That's that same crowd. I'll never forget that year. That youth group come down here from up north for one of our youth rallies. They went home They left here early on a Saturday morning, drove all day and half the night, got back to the home, got back to church Sunday morning. They started singing. Them kids started raising their hand. The pastor's wife got up out of her seat, went over and told them, "We don't do that here." Well, shame on you.
That's right, yeah.
Amen. That's why you don't see nobody saved there. That's why you never see God move there. Amen. Hey, I ain't going to have nobody come in here and tell us to quieten down or tell us to hush up. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't give a rip. I don't care what the ministerial association says. Amen. I got around some preachers recently at a funeral home. I knew who several of them were. They didn't know who I were. Brother Freddie, they were standing there, all of them talking 90 to nothing. You know how preachers do. And they were, most of them, Southern Baptists. I walked up, and somebody knew me and said, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing good, blah, blah." And they're still all just, yeah. And one of them said, "Have you met this guy?" I said, "No, sir." And he said, introduced me to the guy and said, "This is Brother Eddie White, pastor of Happy Valley." That crowd, you'd have thought, you'd spit in their face. "Oh, it's good to meet you." You'd have thought they'd have met the devil. We kind of eased off the side, and I looked at that other fellow, and I said, "What did I do?" He said, "You walked in." I ain't never done nothing to them men. I ain't got nothing against them men. That's that crowd. That's when that crowd thinks we're out of line, we're probably doing just right. Amen. When that crowd comes in here with their arms crossed like that, and Sister Denise, she ain't here tonight, is she? Sister Denise gets to shouting, or Legina, "What are you doing in a balcony?" She gets to hollering, "Woo!" and praising the Lord. You want to see some of these visitors sometime. I shook one family's hand at the door one Sunday. I said, "It's good to have y'all today." They said, "This church's not for us." I started saying, "Well, I'm glad you realize that." Amen. Amen. That's right. As soon as I saw the visitor card, I saw where they live. Now, we all right tonight? No offense, sister. Amen. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
I'll never forget. And I'm just rattling. I got a whole outline with points here, but I ain't preaching it, I promise. I don't think. His family come in, Brother Robbie. They sat right there. Right there. Guess where Legina was? Legina was right there. Y'all just don't know how good it is sitting up here sometimes, amen. During the singing, they just stood there and stood at their song, stared at. Brother William was up here with me. I'll never forget it. They just stood there and stared at their song books. Wouldn't sing. They just stood there like this. And they'd look around. They wouldn't even raise their head, would they, Brother William? They was looking around like that right there. And about that time, I'm nowhere. I ain't talking about a special neither, was it, Brother Will? I'm talking about a congregational song. Old Legina standing there and she goes, "Woo!" I start to say, "Excuse me, folks, that was your heart checkup for this morning." Y'all are all right, amen?
Amen, brother.
Brother William looked at me and said, "I bet they won't be back." You could have knocked us over with a feather next Sunday when they walked in, filled the whole pew up.
Yeah.
But two Sundays was all it took. Might be the finest people in this county. I don't know. I'm just saying there's a crowd that don't like it.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
But that crowd telling them folks to shut up did not intimidate them.
Yeah.
Amen.
It caused them to get louder.
Yeah. Amen.
How many times have you sat and heard a sermon that held your peace? When you knew it was for you. And you know as well as I do, if you sit right there under conviction in an altar call and you walk out that door without doing something, it's wore off before you get home. soon as you reject God, that belly starts growling.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thinking about starving to death.
Yeah, true.
Y'all listen to me?
Amen,
bro. I don't know if I've ever, and I'm going to be honest, maybe too honest, I don't know if I've ever had God deal with me about something in a sermon and then really get it took care of when I got home.
Yeah.
If God's going to deal with me about it right now, I might ought to take care of it right now. I remember when Brother Shea, how many of y'all know Brother Shea Talley?
Yeah.
Freedom Baptist Church, the pastor. I remember when he got saved, Brother Freddie. I was there. We grew up together. Shea sat on the front row of the church and hollered and shouted amen from the time he was that high. You know what they all said? He's going to be a preacher. He's going to be. That's what they did. You know what they said about me? He's going to be a convict. He's going to be the death of his mother. Amen. Well, Shea surrendered to preach. He'd been preaching a while. God got dealing with that boy's heart. And said, you've been listening to people too long. It's about time you listen to me. And you can think what you want to about him. I don't want to hear it. But he had guts enough to realize on the front row,
yes,
the young preacher boy in the church, that he was lost and on his way to hell.
Yes, sir.
He didn't care what nobody thought. And that's what came out of his mouth. He come down to the altar and he prayed and he got saved and he got to shouting and crying. And I remember Brother Earl brought him up on the platform and said, Brother Shea, give us a testimony about what happened. He said, I've wrestled with it for months and months and months, and God deal with me and God deal with me and God deal with me. He said, but I'm a preacher and I do this and I do that, and I'm worried about what everybody will say.
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
I ain't going to hell for nobody. I don't care what nobody says.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Sometimes as the pastor, I feel the pressure, like during camp meeting. I've got to run the altar call. No, I don't. We need to get past all that junk. Brother Charles can lead a song. Brother Freddie can lead a song. If I need the altar, I'm hitting it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen?
And if you didn't get preached to during camp meeting, you just wasn't here.
Yeah. Right.
Amen? Let me say, you just was not here.
Yeah.
These guys knew they needed help, and they didn't care what nobody thought about it. They didn't care. They said, shh, we don't do it. They said, oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. They said, hush, we don't do that. They said, oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. I was keeping the grandbabies today. Oh, Lord. I had to drink Gatorade before I come to church. Amen. Angie called to see how I was doing. Hayden was sitting in my lap, and he was just, and I put my hand over his mouth. He just kept on. That's the way we ought to be.
Yes, sir,
amen. I'll watch our young people buckle under the peer pressure of other teenagers.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We worry about this spiritual hierarchy and where we stand in the eyes of people. Who cares?
Yes, sir. Amen.
If you ain't right with God, get right with God. Yeah. Don't worry about what nobody
Amen.
Thinks.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
If Brother Charles came to the altar tonight and just cried out loud enough to where everybody could hear it, he said, oh God, I'm a wicked man. Please, God, help me. Touch me again.
Amen.
Yeah.
Do you know how little, much littler I would think of him than I already do? None.
Amen.
You know what it would do? It would increase my respect for him. And anybody who is in their right mind would do the same. Is that right? Quit worrying. Quit worrying. I had a man tell me one night, after the service, he said, God plowing my row. I said, why you didn't do something about it? He said, because my wife's sitting right there with me. She knows exactly how I am at home. I said, she'd be the one the happiest. Amen.
Right.
You know what he's afraid of? It'd just be lip service.
Yeah.
And he'd go down here and pray and repent in front of her and go home and do the same thing again.
Yeah.
Not if the Lord touches you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
These guys needed help. They knew they needed help. And they didn't care what the crowd said about it. Now listen. I told you I got a whole message. I'm just going to leave it. I will do it another time. Maybe I'll give it to Shane. He can use it and add it to his. They made up their mind. They wasn't leaving without it.
Amen.
They made up their mind. Listen, here's their mentality. Here's our shot.
Amen.
Here's our. That's the way it was with Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody's life that he touched was transformed. Would you agree?
Amen.
I mean, their life was totally transformed after he left.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Ask Lazarus when you get to heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. He is dead and in the grave.
Yeah, bro.
Ask that little lady with the issue of blood. She done spent all she had. She'd been to all the physicians, man.
Yeah.
I'd kind of like Ashley. That's who she reminds me of. By the way, that's what cancer is. It's an issue of the blood, ain't it?
Yeah. Amen.
Absolutely. All the physicians, Brother Freddie, highest in the land.
Yeah.
They still this day don't know what she had.
They
ain't even come up with a name. They probably named it after her.
Yeah.
Amen. This is Halford and the Titus or whatever. I don't know. They named it after her. But God knew what it was.
Yeah,
yeah.
Them boys said, this is our shot. This is our one chance. They heard that Jesus passed by. They wasn't going to let him get by with getting the help they needed.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. How many of you felt like when you got saved, that was your last shot at it? I truly did.
Yes, sir, me too.
A lot of people are smart enough when God deals with them one time, they repent.
Yeah,
but I didn't. I grew up under it, heard it all my life. But when I was 19 years old, buddy, I felt like he was coming by my way one last time.
Amen. Yes,
sir. And it was serious enough. And that's the problem, I think. It don't get serious enough with us.
Yes, right.
It was serious enough that I stood up in front of all my friends who I always tried to impress. Tears running down my face and said, I got to have some help.
Amen.
And I ain't going to settle for not having it.
Amen.
What did it result in? Sight. They came blind, but they left seeing.
Yeah.
You might have come dirty tonight, but you can leave clean.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't do like me. Well, ain't no sense in confessing it again. I'm just going to mess up and do it again. There's no telling how many things in my life. I started to list them today, but it ain't none of your business.
That's right.
No matter telling how many things in my life that I've confessed over and over and over. And I didn't realize it until I got to really thinking about it today and listing these things out individually that I started confessing them. It seemed to be further and fewer between. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
And what it finally dawned on me, I ain't done that in a long time.
Yes,
sir. It's been a while since I did that.
Yes,
woo!
Amen.
Took me a while to realize it, but I can see.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Keep confessing it.
Right, bro.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Don't use that as an excuse to do it again.
On,
amen. Most people who come in my office and they got a problem, I say, look, don't give up if you fall.
That's right. Amen.
It's not going to be. I've told wives, look, if he does it again, he might.
Yeah.
He may do it again. If he's got a problem with it,
that
flesh, he's weak spiritually.
Yeah.
That flesh is stronger. He's probably going to mess up again. Whatever that area may be.
You're right,
yes, you need to bear with him and keep working on it.
Yes, bro.
Amen. Just make up your mind, God, I ain't quitting until you help me.
That's right, bro.
Amen. Old Shane's going to talk about Jacob a little bit. Old Jacob got hold of God and said, I ain't letting go.
Yeah.
God told him to turn me loose. He said, I'm not letting go. Do you bless me?
Amen, bro.
That's what some of us need to do is get hold of the horns of the altar tonight and say, God, I'm not turning loose to you. Help me.
Yes, bro.
What would you have me do unto you? You reckon Jesus knew they was blind? They're sitting on the side of the road. Jesus, what can I do for you? Oh, what do you need? What would you like me to do to you? They didn't go, duh. He needed them to say it. God, forgive me of my sins. It's not a blanket that we just cover everything up with.
Yeah.
Jesus asked them for a specific thing.
Yeah.
Wonder how many times we pray. We say, Lord, forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. We ought to list them.
Yes.
Amen. Wonder if he's saying, what sin? Well, which one? You got so many. Could we be a little more specific? Now, what do you want me to do to you? You want me to make that habit make you vomit? You want me to change your mind, the way you think?
Amen, brother. Need that for sure.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
To where what you're looking at bothers you instead of excites you?
Yes. Amen, brother.
Tell the truth, brother.
Amen.
Well, okay.
Yes, sir, brother.
That's the only way it's going to change.
Amen.
God's going to have to do it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
They needed help.
Amen.
They knew they needed help. They knew they needed help. I want you to put that out of your mind about what preaching who needs and start focusing on your own self.
Amen.
Just put it out of your head totally about who needs, oh God, so-and-so needs a touch. No, I need a touch.
Amen.
They needed help. But more importantly, the fact that they needed help, they knew they needed help. Amen.
Amen.
They knew they needed help. They didn't care what nobody thought. They ignored the crowd. Some of us need to ignore the crowd. Over all God's done for us,
yeah.
We need to get like Legina Bearden. And so I don't give a flip what nobody thinks. God's been good to me.
Amen.
Hey, certain songs they can sing, and I just sit there and bite my lip and get tickled because I know it's fixing to set Tommy off. I just watch for it. I'm watching my 10, 9, 8, 7. I'd be disappointed if he didn't.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
You think he cares? What the visitors think?
Oh, but he's a deacon of the church.
I wouldn't have a deacon wouldn't praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. He'd go deacon somewhere else. Amen.
Yeah.
They quit worrying about the crowd. We need to quit worrying about the crowd.
Amen.
You know what half them problem, what half the problem is them kids you preach to on Sunday morning, Brother Allen? They're looking around that room. That boy with his britches busting a sag. It ain't cool to cry. He ain't going to get no help till he gets past that. And you ain't going to get no help neither. Do you get the point where you don't give flip what nobody thinks? Amen. They didn't care. The crowd told them to hush. They got worse. I think that's what we ought to do. I think we'll just get worse. The longer this old world lasts without Jesus coming after his church, it's going to get worse. They're going to like us less and less. But we ought to just get louder and louder.
Amen.
They needed help. They knew they needed help. They didn't care what nobody thought. And they made up their mind. They wasn't leaving. Till they got what they came for.
Amen.
They needed some help. Let's stand on our feet tonight.